Yes, yes, yes. This is the Padded Room Podcast. Around these parts, they call me Darian. Sitting right across from the longtime voice, the iconic voice. It's the heart and soul of the Padded Room Podcast. Multiple mics.
Word to your mother.
That's it. That's all you. After the intro I just gave you, that's all you got.
I ain't no loony.
Come on now.
Next week I'll do some pop loony.
Some pop mics. Sounds like a porn movie, dude.
Pop mics.
All over his face. What's up with you, man?
Oh, you know, adjusting to this new jabber.
Yeah? Still working for Dr. Dale.
Jobby jabber. Dale. Oh, man, I wish I could work for Dr. Dale.
Why? What are you doing? You're doing valet now. You're actually parking cars.
It's still with the same company that does the garages.
Right.
They got the contract for the new hotel downtown, the Whitney Peak.
Right.
And so with that comes valet.
Okay.
So yeah, I've been
That's
running,
good money.
Parking some cars. It would be better if we didn't mandatory charge.
If that place stays busy, you will be doing just fine, my friend.
Memorial Day weekend.
Booyah. I mean,
tomorrow is supposed to be hopping.
Yeah.
Over 100 departures.
Right on.
And I got to drive a Dodge Charger today.
That's cool.
BMW, that's Lexus. That's cool. Fun times.
Let's not wreck any of them this time.
Yeah.
I know that's an ongoing adventure for you.
Trust me, it's always there.
Driving different cars and possibly busting them to pieces.
Do not crash this car.
Get yourself a little post-it note and just carry it with you. As soon as you get in the car, slap it on the dash. Do not crash.
Hey, ass face. You crash this car, you're a dead man.
Don't crash the car.
Pretty much.
Very cool, man. That's cool. I'm glad you're... are you enjoying it?
It's working, yeah. I like it. Getting up... Well, it starts at 6 in the morning.
Oh, that's just your shift, though,
6
right?
to 2:30, yeah. See, that day shift's the money shift, though.
You get all the people checking out.
Because all the people checking in are at night, and right. Then we get them leaving. That's where they tip.
You know they don't tip when you check in?
They have to pay the mandatory 15.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. I think that's probably the only place in Reno that does...
Well, like I
valet.
Said, the casino, like we talked off air before the show, the casinos, they have a service charge where they'll charge, and plus they make the money with the casino anyway.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
So we don't have that, so we got to charge for valet.
See, so what you do now, I would give this like 2-3 years, and then mosey on down the road to either Peppermill or Atlantis.
So I was thinking.
Those fucking guys are clearing like $200-$300 a day.
Well, me and some of the other guys,
they all own like a couple houses and shit.
Yeah, we were talking about valets in Vegas must be making bank at like the Bellagio.
Yeah, dude. But I know like in the big properties like that, you don't walk right into valet.
Yeah, no.
You got to start doing like bags.
For sure.
Being a doorman.
Bellhop.
Wearing a stupid hat.
Check your bag, sir.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Johnson, so good to see you again. All right.
Good times.
Knucklehead, I got some horror news here.
Hold on. I want to take this moment.
Okay.
Stop us on a break.
All right. Take a moment.
I want to give a huge shout out to the Extended Padded Room Podcast family out there for your kind words, thoughts, prayers, what have you, over my son's recent passing.
Very cool.
Yeah. And all of you who did the little tribute, the memorial, whatever you want to call it.
The L pictures.
Yeah. That was nice. I got those saved.
What was that? We got a lot of people involved in that. We got
Chris, Tom, GP.
Allen, I know.
Did you see Dale's?
Yeah, like this much of his face and then like a fingertip up here.
I love the guy, but come on. A little screw loose up there.
Who else? Gersh and Gershy, his daughter.
Gersh and his daughter. That was a beautiful one by his daughter.
There was some dude I didn't even know. Misfit Boy. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah, and his son?
Yeah. I don't know that guy. You know that guy?
I think, yeah, we talk. Well, we just comment just on Facebook different friends. Things on Facebook. Yeah.
Right on.
Alan.
Yeah, I already said Alan.
Did you?
Chris.
You. Me. Nicole.
Nicole, too.
The nursey nurse.
Too cool to put her padded t-shirt on.
She's the only one that didn't wear the shirt.
Too fucking cool for school.
It's all good. It's not thanks again. Thanks, cool everybody out there, for your support.
Hey, glad we could be there for you.
It's a trying time, my friend. You know, I need all the support I can get right now. So,
of course.
Moving along. Horror news.
Let's do some horror news then.
Horror news.
Blammo. Hey, what do you think of Ty West?
I dig most of his stuff.
House of the Devil.
Yeah.
The Innkeepers.
He did The Innkeepers. I dug the hell out of The Innkeepers.
The Roost, which apparently I'm the only person in the world that has ever seen The Roost.
Never even heard of it.
Of course not.
Who's in it?
Nobody.
You?
I would like to be. I'll be in The Roost. He's got a new one coming out. It's called In the Valley of Violence. Big. This one looks like a big Hollywood release. John Travolta.
Oh.
Ethan Hawke.
There we go.
And Tasia Farmiga, if you've ever seen any of the American Horror Stories. Vera Farmiga's little sister. Weird. I always thought Vera Farmiga was like her mom, but it turns out she's actually her sister.
Interesting. She look older than her?
Looks substantially older.
Really?
Vera Farmiga was in The Conjuring. You know who I'm talking about? The Departed.
Did she play the doctor?
In what?
The Departed.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist, yeah. Or whatever.
Smoking hot.
I can't remember her in The Conjuring.
She was Lorraine Warren.
Okay.
She looked a lot older.
If you say so.
That's what I'm talking about. How about this? Legendary Pictures and Warner Brothers are already developing a Godzilla sequel.
Of course. You saw it.
Dude, it made $250 million in one night. Why wouldn't you? Right?
Was it just me, though? Or was it just like one big tease after another there for a while?
Did you go see it?
Yeah.
What do you mean by tease?
Well, they would tease like a little Godzilla battle. They would tease a little like something and then move on to some
back to Bryan Cranston and his family.
He didn't last as much long as I thought.
He was like supposed to star in this
thing. And he was gone in a heartbeat. I was like, yeah. Wait, did he die? Is he gone?
No, where's Cranston?
Jeez.
Cranston.
But no, I think all the teases were worth it leading to that ending.
The recent scuttlebutt is that it's supposed to be a trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had Project Monarch, which is Mothra.
Yeah, and there was also a missile. I don't know if you caught it or not. I didn't catch it either. But in the movie, there's a missile, and it has like a moth. There's like a stenciled thing, and it has a moth and a big circle and a.
At the beginning, when they're doing that found footage?
I don't know. I don't know where it was. I was a little on the tipsy side there.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. Text or something. But I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's a good show. I'll go see the next one. Why not? Halloween Blu-ray Super Pack is coming out. 10 discs.
Heard about this.
Includes every fucking Halloween movie ever.
Even the zombies.
Yes, even Rob Zombies. Right now, it's going to be available for pre-order August 27th. Fucking thing's going to cost $170.
Yeah, and they got like the TV releases.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to watch those, but all right. Maybe you want to scare the shit out of your kids without them learning any curse words? I'll buy that. What else we got here? Do you know the name Alfonso Cuarón?
No.
He directed Gravity.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he is currently in talks to direct a prequel to The Shining entitled The Overlook Hotel.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Is this? No, because Dr. Sleep was after.
Yeah, that's 45-year-old.
Have you read that yet?
No, but I was looking on Facebook today. Our old friend Shane Diablo read it, and he says nay.
You mean he listened to it?
Or probably, yeah.
He does the audiobooks, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what he did.
I got it last Christmas, Still haven't cracked it. I'm still working on Joe Hill.
Which one are you reading from Joe Hill?
Well, I finished Horns.
What do you think of that?
Liked it.
Right?
Ooh, touching?
Yeah.
I was going to...
You got to read... I'm telling you, dude. All three of them tie in. Heart-Shaped Box, Horns, and NOS 482.
That's the one I was going to start next.
And then they tie into Stephen King's earlier stuff.
Nosferatu. Well, there's a mix between, like, Christine and Salem's Lot.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's some serious Easter eggs in NOS 482 to Stephen King's work.
Cool.
You're going to dig it. I think you will. I think you'll dig it a lot. What else we got here? Have you ever heard of WETV?
Is that a network you can order?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it is.
WEO, like Women's Entertainment?
Is that what it is?
Probably. I thought you said WWE.
No, it's WETV.
Not like the Dale thing.
No.
WETV would be like Women's Entertainment.
Is that what it is?
There's a channel, WE.
Okay, so that's probably... Is that
probably. Okay. What about it? What you got?
Well, I don't know, but let's get to the bottom of the WE thing first.
Dig it up.
They have ordered 8 episodes of South of Hell, which is a upcoming Demon Hunter series. The pilot is going to be directed by Eli Roth, which means that we're probably not getting our second season of Hemlock Grove anytime soon.
Did he do Hemlock Grove?
Yeah.
So, is this going to be... What's it called?
South of Hell.
What's it about? You got a story at all?
Something about a demon hunter.
Could it be possibly like a supernatural?
Could be. But if it's on Women's Entertainment, then...
That's what I'm wondering.
It's probably going to be Fabio.
It's going to be more...
You know? A lot of kissing and guys getting in touch with their delicate selves. Things of that nature. Wind blowing in hair. Things of that nature.
Fabio.
Wonder whatever happened to that guy.
He got old.
Did he? That sucks.
Sucks to get old.
He probably owns a laundromat somewhere in Ohio. All right, that's all I got for horror news. You got anything, man?
No, because, internet's not loading. So, go ahead.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Let's do some listener mail. Let's hit the old mailbag.
Mail time.
Listener mail.
We got a smorgasbord this week, my friend. Emails, voicemails, the whole nine yards.
Lay it on me.
I feel like you're in some kind of a sex mood.
I am.
Are you? What's going on?
It's been a long time.
What's good? Has it been a while?
I'm about due.
Okay.
I'm probably just going to go rape somebody if nothing happens in the meantime.
Excellent. I feel dirty already. Emails. First up, our old buddy Crackhouse Matt. Subject line, you're goddamn right.
All right.
I am taking Pinhead in the Terror Dome again this year. God damn it.
Of course he is.
I was hoping that... I thought you were going to sweet talk him out of it.
Like I had a chance?
Yeah, right? I don't have anything right with that.
Well, do we pick one for singles and one for teams, too?
That's the plan. You don't have to, but...
Did he not pick a teams yet, then?
I don't know. Let's finish reading.
All right.
I won the first season with him, second place in the second season, which was fucking robbery. Michael Myers got the pity vote that year. What the fuck is Myers going to do? Stalk and stab Pinhead to death? Get real. And then, of course, the victory last year. Like a prize racehorse, I hope we get to retire him after this season with another victory and have Pinhead be the first entry into the Hall of Pain. In all seriousness, though, I can't see abandoning him after the track record he has. I am interested to hear the lineup of this year's participants. I made a few changes to the lineup.
I can't wait to hear him.
Yeah, I pulled a few. Because I think some of these villains are just filler villains.
We got some newcomers?
We got some new ones.
All right.
Put some new names in there. Are we still having the minimum 2-movie requirement for entry? Mm-hmm. I think Bagul from Sinister would be a great addition to the lineup and could make some waves in the tournament. Well, we got to have the two-movie minimum. Otherwise, we don't really know what he can do. And to be honest with you, Bagul doesn't really do anything.
He stalks you, and he gets fuck you up.
No, he gets your kids to fuck you up. Yeah. So, I don't think any of our villains are single dads or anything. So, sorry, Matt. Better luck next time.
What about go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say the demon from Insidious.
I thought about that. We can't really use the demon, but we could use the woman in, or the Bride in Black.
The woman in black. The Bride in Black, yeah. The what did they call her?
I think it was the Bride in Black, wasn't it?
Possibly.
Crossdresser. Crossdresser in black.
Yeah, right. That second one was good.
Yeah, took a weird gender bender type of a situation. Also, it was great to hear multiple mics back in the saddle last week. Hopefully he pops in more often.
Here I am popping in.
Here you are.
Pop.
After everything was said about the immersion therapy last week, I am glad I procrastinated and missed that House of Good and Evil garbage you pawned off on us to watch. I did manage to catch some of Sin Eater. I was intrigued by the cover art when I pulled this into my Netflix queue. I thought to myself, did Kreese just drop an animated feature on us? Then I saw Lance Henriksen cast in the movie, and I thought to myself, hey now, this might actually be halfway decent despite its star rating on Netflix. 2-star rating on Netflix. I came away from this flick with one conclusion. If Netflix has a 2-star rating on the movie, there is a reason for it, and a legitimate one at that. As one reviewer noted, I wonder if Lance Henriksen owed somebody a favor to be in this. I did find it funny they had it listed as German/foreign movie, however it was in English. Well, yeah, but you could tell that nobody there was actually American, right?
Yeah, but it was supposed to be shot, what, in Switzerland, Germany?
Somewhere in Europe, yeah.
But it was actually shot in New England.
New England or England?
Here.
Huh, yeah. How about that?
Over there near neck of the woods, Matthew.
Yeah, Matt. It wasn't the most awful thing I have seen, and I actually kind of liked the idea behind the plot. But it just didn't quite come together to keep my interest for long periods of time. I found myself playing with my phone throughout most of the movie. Yep, same here, Matt.
Darian does that.
All the fucking time. That's all I got this week. Keep up the great work on the show. I love all of the new dynamics and guest spots. You have done a great job always keeping TPR fresh and entertaining. I've listened to every single episode, and I look forward to each and every one to come. Crack House Matt out.
Cool. Good to hear from you, Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Good times, buddy. Good times.
He's over there in Baltimore, huh?
Baltimore area.
Although he's a Steelers fan.
Is he?
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, he is.
I was just about to give him crap about the Ravens, but...
Is he a... Fucking,
he is a Steelers fan.
I think
fan.
He is a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
Who isn't these days?
You travel well.
Right? I think that's like the second most popular franchise in the league.
After who?
I think Green Bay.
Packers?
Either, it's guess. Either Green Bay or Dallas. Dallas is pretty big, too.
Yeah, but Dallas is... I saw this meme. There's a tornado, like a picture of a tornado.
Yeah.
They said, in the event of a serious tornado, everybody head to Dallas Stadium. There's no chance of a touchdown there.
Crude football humor.
Romo.
Good times. Up next, Irma Gersh.
Gershie.
Subject line, Event Horizon, The Burbs, Heart and Soul Run. Multiple mics. Woo-hoo-hoo. There's an awful lot of O's in that one. God damn it, I love that guy. Glad he's doing well, as can be anyway. Here is where I'm going to get, in the words of Johnny Krug, prison shanked with a filed down toothbrush. Event Horizon is hands down, without a doubt, the most abysmal pile of celluloid created. What is it with Gersh and not liking good movies?
I back him on that.
You didn't like Event Horizon? You get out of my house. Go. Just go.
No, Nicole was all about it too, huh?
Yeah, because it's a good show.
Nah.
You people are out of your minds.
I would. Lame sauce.
That's okay, what now it is. you definitely get out of my fucking
face
house.
Face the wall.
I would have rather watched Insidious again. Yes, it's possible to hate something more than that in Haunter. I wanted to punch babies and smash buildings. Goddamn terrible, I tell you. Even worse, immersion therapy is better. Blech. However, it made for a fantastic episode of I Hate Your Face podcast. Cinnamon and I ripped it. Who the hell's Cinnamon? I don't know.
Is that his daughter?
Maybe. Krug, Crackhouse Matt, and Ian loved it. But Krug was drinking some. Crackhouse Matt has the nervous turd sweats. And Ian, well, he's just dumb. Was able to fit in The Burbs. I know you've seen The Burbs, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a good show,
classic,
right?
Thank you. Classic Tom Hanks.
Well, it's a movie.
Okay, thanks for that fact.
Well, you've successfully identified it.
Fun fact.
Started Zombieland for an upcoming episode. Halfway through, thought it's smart to go storm chasing solo. Turns out that's not too bright, even for me. Now get to buy a new windshield and fix a shit ton of dents. Golf ball size hail will do that. Fucking A, it was awesome though. The second week in June, me and the family are doing the Heart and Soul Run. If I remember correctly, we signed up for the 5K. Looking forward to that. Been biking a lot lately with the kids and Ninja. Have to get as much time in as I can. I'm going to be living at work for the next few months. Glad to hear you're doing better as well, RoboCop.
Whoop, whoop.
With your fancy mechanical arm and stuff. Also,
we can rebuild him. We can make him stronger.
We have the technology. Also think I'm going to stick with my horse for last year's Terradome, Kerry White. That's it, I suppose. Going to go invade Horacopia in a few minutes. Keep the straps tight in the front. Listen to Kruger Nation, Bump in the Night, Horacopia, I Hate Your Face. Until next week, may you not drink from the cup of rotted feces. Deuces!
Gershy Gersh takes Kerry.
Gersh for Kerry.
Fine by me.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Hey, Matt, Gersh, you got to give us your team picks.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to.
Or you just
whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do.
You just sit out on the teams tournament like a little bitch.
Just sleep on the teams then. Up next, Creasy. Subject line, bring on the hate. Uh-oh.
She knows.
So, Sin Reaper was terrible. Hmm? I acknowledge that. It had terrible acting, unbelievable plot line, unlikable cast of characters, and an ending that went on too long. Highly predictable from beginning to end. But at least people actually died. So, yeah. That was Kreese.
Thanks for acknowledging,
Kreese. You know, well, we'll get into that in the immersion therapy.
I'll be straight up. I fell asleep within the first half
dude,
hour.
Dude, it just... Okay. You got my attention with Lance Henriksen. And then just the shittiness of everybody else just made me not want
to... Was it Matt that said it was a good plot?
Yeah, which I didn't really feel it. I liked the dude's weapon. I thought that was pretty
sweet. That was cool. That was it.
Yeah, that's all you got. And I guess his helmet thing was all right, too.
We started off with a sack. Sack and a wooden drum.
Kreese coming in again. Subject line, game review. If you were wondering why I had only one last-minute email last week, it was because I was playing board games with a bunch of nerds. Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
King of Tokyo. In this game, you're playing a kaiju and battling other kaiju for dominance of Tokyo. By rolling dice, you either attack, heal, or get charge-ups to buy things like the ability to call jets, regenerate, other fun kaiju things. That sounds pretty sweet.
It does.
Should look into that. King of Tokyo? King of Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Dude, there's a new one that just came out, too, called Dead Panic. You heard of that?
No.
It's like you and whoever else is playing in a cabin in the woods, and the zombies are trying to get in.
Is it similar to that one that you guys have with the plate, the different tiles that your board grows as you go?
Zombies? No. But it does have, like, the cabin, and then you build up around it. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
So you fortify it against the zombies coming?
Yeah. I'll show you a picture after. Interesting. It looks pretty badass. All right. Boss battle. Set up with 8-bit graphics, you are dungeon boss building your dungeon with 5 rooms to defend against heroes. Not really horror movie related, but it was a really fun game. I guess that one's a video game. It's called Boss Battle. That's pretty generic.
8-bit action.
Yeah. Betrayal at the House on the Hill. One of my favorite games. Up to 6 people are exploring a haunted house. The layout is built as you go, so it's different every time. In rooms, you can have an event, find an item, or receive an omen. If too many omens are received, the haunt is unleashed. One of 50 different in scenarios. One explorer becomes a betrayer and fights against the other players. Betrayal is pricey, so attempt to try it before you buy. It's good times.
Is that a board one?
Yeah. It's like the zombies where you lay the tiles mm-hmm. down. It sounds like that one we tried to play that one night. What was that called? Enter the Darkness or something like that?
Oh. Is that where you have your own guy and you can it's like RPG almost?
Yeah. But we were too drunk.
But that wasn't like searching through a haunted house.
No, that was like you built the whole town as you went. Yeah. So I don't forget the name of that one.
Love the board games. Dude, you know what we got to play?
Huh.
What was that one? By the way, we got up at Portland.
Gloom?
Gloom.
Yeah. That's a good time. Crease coming in again.
Mm-hmm. Triple threat.
Triple threat on the crease. Subject line, equipment for werewolves. Mm-hmm. The exercise machine that Dale was talking about before is called a tread climber. One of my coworkers swears by it, but it is noisy and costs a few thousand dollars. I wish they could put, like, you know, snotty tones of voice on here, because I know it's there. It just doesn't translate, you know. The exercise machine that Dale was talking about is a tread climber.
What do you think, italics?
Maybe. Throw a couple of italics in there. From now on, if you want me to read your email in a snotty tone of voice, put it in italics.
Every email next week is going to be just going to be
fucking snotty.
God damn it! It's shittiest me.
For those interested in weightlifting, I highly recommend wrist straps. I got the most comfy pair I found in the shop. They were about $15, but it allows me to lift a lot more, and I have no wrist pain the next day. It is good times. I used to use wrist straps when I was lifting.
Is that almost like a belt, like one of those lifting belts?
No, it goes around your wrist, and then you wrap it around the bar, so you can't drop it.
But does it give you support like those belts do, just on your wrist instead of your back?
Yeah. And it's good for me, because I got little bitch hands. Dude, my hands are tiny. You know what I mean? And if I'm trying to, like, deadlift or something, like a couple hundred pounds, dude, I can get it up there. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
For my size, I got fairly small hands, too.
Yeah. That was it for the emails.
All right.
Let's get into some voicemail action.
How many of these we got?
Just the one. I think it's from Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be from another foreign country. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
Hey, Padded Room, what's up? Might be late to the party for this week's episode. Glad to see the Terror Dome's coming back. Always had fun with that. As far as...
I think we woke him up.
I don't know anything about that. I know you said I got another week or so to let you know. Kind of want to keep them, but... There might be somebody else in teams that I'd like to switch up to.
Xenomorphs.
Don't know about singles yet. Anyway, that Sin Reaper, just, I don't know, man. Just because something was improved by Fangoria, Fangoria helps. That doesn't give me much faith. This is a magazine that put Twilight on the cover. And some of their movies back in the day that they gave their seal of approval on. I wanted to set on fire after I got done watching them. Anyway, that's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Alan.
So he's on the fence about taking Xenomorphs again.
Now, you got another week. We're doing the initial fight announcements right after the movie this week, so if anybody wants to change... Alan, you got first pick of the Xenomorphs, so if you want them, they're yours. GP got a hold of me earlier this week. He wants the Predators in the team's action. So there's nice. That. There's that.
GP and Alan going at it.
What else? Just hang out. I mean, we got some newcomers in the teams division, too. I dropped a few of the teams from last year because they were stupid.
Who'd you drop?
Internet Ghosts. Stupid. The Feasters. Yeah. Not bad, but still kind of stupid.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Door, they're still in there. They kept the Ghoulies. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, we'll get into that in the Terror Dome. How about a movie then?
Sounds good by me.
They're just overhead. The remains of over 30 people were found in shallow graves.
No details of any cause of death were ever made public, and the case was officially closed.
What the hell is this place?
Are you still hearing the voices?
Ghost? they did this to people like me?
Alrighty, we're talking about Entity from 2012. Not to be confused with The Entity from 1984. That was the ghost rape movie. You ever seen that one?
Yeah.
That one had some pretty brutal ghost rape.
It's been a long time, but yeah.
Mildly spankable, too.
Okay,
if you don't mind being penetrated by an unseen situation. All right, so this one's actually approved by Fangoria, and so was our immersion therapy for the week, Sin Reaper.
Which we've learned being approved by Fangoria is still a hit or miss.
Not, take it or leave it, really. This one starts off with a little found footage action. You get a brief glimpse of what appears to be some kind of a prison or asylum cell, and a naked bald guy basically losing his mind in there.
He doesn't start off naked.
It's kind of hard to tell.
He has a gown on at first.
Did he?
Yeah.
I couldn't really make it out.
And then, yeah, he gets naked.
Anyway, he's really going crazy in there. You only get like 30 seconds of that. Then you cut to what appears to be some kind of a film crew walking through the woods. Now, your film crew consists of a guide. We find out that these woods are actually in Siberia, which for Siberia, the weather seemed rather timid. I mean, Siberia is almost North Pole-esque, and the weather there didn't appear that bad. Looked more like, not even Alaska, more like Oregon or something. Anyway, you got Yuri, who's the guide. You got Ruth, who is a psychic.
Medium.
She's a medium psychic.
Not extra large.
No, I mean, she's like medium. I'd call her a medium.
She's just right.
You got Matt, who is a cameraman. David, who is some kind of a, I guess he's got like a producer badge or something like that.
Technical guy.
Yeah, he's kind of a bitch, too. Yeah. And then you have the leader of this crew. What was her name?
Kate.
Kate's the one holding it all together. We find out that this documentary crew, what was it, a TV show or a website? Do you know?
I think it was an online show.
Something like that. It's called Dark Secrets.
Dark Secrets.
Or Dead Secrets.
Dark Secrets.
Now, basically what they're doing in the woods of Siberia, they're looking for this area where a mass grave was unearthed. Like 30 bodies they found in this one particular area. They've got the psychic there because they want to get to the bottom of this and they want to try to document some kind of paranormal activity or some such. The psychic, Ruth, takes him to the spot where the bodies were unearthed. She has the atypical psychic moment where she's feeling the vibrations and she's looking around and she's seeing phantoms of the different dead folks and they're all yelling at her in Russian and she doesn't understand because she's not Russian. She basically gets the vibe of, you know, this is where the bodies were left, but this isn't where the actual horror took place.
Atrocities.
The trauma didn't happen here. She gets kind of a bearing and says, okay, what's over beyond those trees? And Yuri, the guide, is like, it is abandoned factory or something. What was it? What did he say? Industrial park or something like that? She's like, well, that's where we need to go. So, being the documentary crew that they are, they decide to follow the psychic. She takes them to this big abandoned industrial site. They go through what appears to be an abandoned... There's nobody anywhere near this place. They go through this abandoned tunnel. They pop up. They're like... Now they're in the middle of this industrial zone. They go inside. They kind of snoop around a little bit. They find... It's supposed to be an industrial zone, but the deeper they get into it, the more it looks like a prison or an asylum of some sort. They get in there, the psychic starts really getting flakier and flakier, and she starts seeing more and more of these phantoms popping up around her. This is pretty good stuff. I mean, the phantoms were okay, I guess. I mean, they're your atypical grave encounters, inmate patients with the gowns and the shaved heads and sunken in features and all that stuff.
nothing too freaky. Basically, what she comes to the conclusion of is that for some reason, all of the inmates or the patients at this place were also psychic. She starts screaming about how they brought people here. They brought people here, people like me, referring to her psychic abilities. okay, so that's kind of weird, right? I mean, this place from the outside looks like a factory, and it was supposed to be a factory. Deep inside the inner workings of it, we find this prison/asylum situation.
Torture kind of.
Yeah, and there, yeah, that's something else I was going to say, is that there's like a lot of weird torture implements, like straps to the wall and weird chairs with restraints on them and things like that.
Did you get to the part where Ruth sits in that chair?
Not yet. Not necessarily anything that we wouldn't find in a regular mental institution.
Right.
Or at least one, you know, an outdated mental institution. At this point, anyway. From there, they get a little more flaky. And something really stupid keeps happening. And I hate when they do this in movies. Where they have like a big music drop. And then everybody freaks out. For no apparent... I mean, unless they're hearing the same music, there's really no reason for them to be freaking out, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Well, I mean, that happened a couple times in this movie. And I mean, I get it. The camera gets all shaky and they kind of bounce between found footage and regular narrative on this one. But you should at least... I mean, it's almost like as if me and you right now, for no reason, we're going to jump under this desk. You know what I mean? Why would we do that?
Yeah, probably just for jump scares to the audience. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I know. But I mean, why are you having the characters in the movie react to it? If there's nothing for them to be afraid of. And really, the only thing for me to be afraid of is a big drum crash.
Ah.
Boom! Oh, shit. They do that repeatedly. And I don't know. I guess if you really wanted to get into it, you could probably write it off to some kind of a psychic frequency wave or something. Because Ruth is really the one feeling the brunt of this situation. As we get deeper into the facility, the phantoms and everything really starts to wear on her. She starts to get fatigued, and I think she gets like a bloody nose at one point. At one point, she says that she needs to lie down for a minute.
This is after the chair.
Did I skip over the chair?
You did.
What happened to the chair?
They find this room where there's just this sole chair in the middle of it, and it looks kind of like it maybe operating room almost. Did somebody say dentist?
Could be.
I think I caught dentist thrown around there.
It wasn't really a dentist chair, though.
No. But maybe this is where they did the dentistry work at the asylum or whatever we're calling it. So Ruth is saying that there's this vibe in this room. She eventually sits down in the chair. You see her close her eyes. And I'm assuming what comes next is her vision. She sees some of the horrors that happened to patients sitting in this chair. And then that's pretty much it. She freaks out and says, get me out, get me out, get me out. And so the other people have to come and pull her out of the chair. And then they leave that room. But Matt is still filming just a touch longer. And that chair moves by itself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Okay. So after that is when she says she needs to lie down.
I believe so.
They start trying to find her a place to lie down. They find the individual cells where people were living. They find one with a bed in it, and she's like, okay, this will do. They all kind of walk in there to get her situated. And again, we get this stupid music crash and camera flying all over the place, and everybody's freaking out. Yeah. Why? No idea. During this weird encounter here, two things happen. One, David goes missing. Two, they catch what they believe to be a ghost on camera. Now, they don't reveal this, but I want to bring this up now before I forget. They don't reveal this into the movie. When they're reviewing the tape and they see what they believe to be a ghost on camera, to me it looked like a plastic bag.
I can see that.
I didn't see a ghost there at all. They're like, what is that? It's got to be a ghost. To me it looked like either a stain on the floor or a plastic bag.
Well, I think they were trying to get the whole plasma forming out of thin air look. Because it looked like it was some kind of supernatural. I can see where you say plastic bag.
I mean, that's a stretch, but
I think that's what they were going for. Obviously, they were going for the ghost, but
okay, well,
kind of a showing. I don't know.
I'll buy that plastic bag ghost, plasma bag ghost.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll get it. I'll buy that. So anyway, David disappears. They get Ruth situated. She's in a completely panicked state, and she needs to lie down. Kate, Yuri, and Matt find this weird control room area. They get in there, and they're going to get situated. The plan at this point is to kind of give Ruth a chance to recharge her batteries. In the meantime, find David. They've set up a number of different static cameras linked to via live feed to their computers, so they can monitor different parts of the facility while they're looking for Matt from the control room, or for David. Okay, I'm with you so far. About this time, they start hearing like David screaming off in the distance. Very Blair Witch situation there.
Yeah.
Looking for Josh at that point, I think. Of course, they go off and they're going to find they're following the voices around and stuff. The plan at that point was for Kate and Matt to separate. They're going off to find David. Yuri is going to stay in the control room and monitor the cameras while Ruth is still asleep. They go off chasing after Matt, David, following his voice. You know, you get a lot more of that fucking... that atypical ghosty asylum-y kind of, oh, weird sounds over here. Whoa. Oh, there's a shadow figure. You know, it's become somewhat formulaic at this point. They get there, they're following the voice. They track him down to what appears to be some kind of a tunnel system, which of course this place has. Why wouldn't it? They get down there, they actually find him. And at this point we switch right to found footage. They've got the night vision camera on. They're following the voice. You kind of spot him like down the tunnel, and then you spot another dude kind of standing next to him. And then after that, all you get is David being picked up and slammed on the ground 5 or 6 times. That's pretty gnarly. I'll give you that. Kills him, apparently. Okay, so at this point, David's dead. They're going to go back to the control room, pick up Yuri and Ruth, and try to get the fuck out of there. Right. That's the plan.
Yep.
In the meantime, back at the control room, Ruth is back on her feet, and her and Yuri are going to go try to find David on their own. So they go off on their own, and they're kind of walking around looking for clues or where David went or anything. And here we get a very silly reveal. Well, I guess it wasn't that bad. We find out that Yuri actually knows more than he's letting on about this place. He knows that the nature of the facility before it was closed down was actually a Soviet psychic warfare installation. The psychics that were kept there against their will, experimented on, forced into various sensory deprivation experiments. Basically, a remote viewing project with other...
Yeah, they're trying to use their psychic abilities against the enemy.
Yeah. So
big military to do.
Yeah. Basically these people were tortured.
Yeah.
In order to somehow further their abilities or weaponize them or whatever. That's kind of creepy, but we also find out that Yuri's girlfriend a long time ago was part of this project.
She was one of the ones tortured, yeah.
Now he knows exactly what's going on here. And the reason he brought them there was because he needed Ruth, the psychic, to get in there and communicate with his ex-girlfriend Tasha and somehow give her release, so her and the other inmates, I suppose, release from this torturous
Well, I don't think Yuri really cares about the other inmates.
Well, I mean,
Ruth comes too.
Yeah, but at this point, I mean, while she was out, she's having a lot of visions and weird dreams and things of that nature, and we meet another character named Mishka. Now, this guy's a bad motherfucker. He was like the most powerful psychic there, and he is genuinely pissed off about the way he was treated. He's dead now, of course. All we're talking about is his ghost. But he's the one causing all the problems and killing off the documentary crew. You do get to see him, but he's just got that atypical asylum inmate, you know, gown, gaunt face, sickly looking. I think he, in one of her visions, wasn't he naked? And he's like walking down the hall toward her.
Yeah.
That's pretty creepy. Being naked adds like another level of creepy. You know what I mean? I mean, you're a creepy guy. I get it. But now I got to look at your genitalia.
Lose your clothes, and you just reach that next level.
Cock and balls. Creepy cock and balls is what it is. You don't want it. Because now there's a good chance that I may have to fight you, and that may get wiped on me at some point. So
keep your mouth closed.
I'm just going to go ahead and start walking the opposite direction. So, yeah, this is like your big villain here. So at this point, we have Yuri and Ruth off on their own. We didn't really, after the death of David, we didn't really see what happened to Kate and Matt, because it's just a lot of shaky cam crap, but they did get away, and now we have basically these two independent teams trying to find, well, Kate and Matt are trying to find their way back to the control room. Ruth and Yuri are trying to find David still. Now we have this big reveal about what the installation was and what happened there. Ruth kind of has the epiphany that, you know, she's there to help, and Yuri's kind of being an asshole. Didn't he pull a gun on her?
He pulls a gun on her, and that's when the teams reconverge.
Yeah, yeah. Right about then, the poltergeist psychic activity is coming to a head. They reconverge from, like, the room down. They reconverge in, like, a hallway. And from a room down the hallway, you get, like, a loud growling and banging around. And for some reason, I guess Yuri got the idea that it was Tasha. So he goes hauling ass down there into the room, and then you get even more yelling and growling and banging around. And I think you heard the gun go off a couple times, too. If you didn't figure it out, I'll go ahead and tell you that's the end of Yuri. He's done. Now we have Ruth, Matt, and Kate. Ruth is really starting to...
Well, no, Yuri gets trapped in that hallway because he ends up seeing Tasha.
Oh, that's right.
And he gets closer and closer, and then Tasha disappears. That door closes on him, and then he gets stuck in with what we're assuming to be Mishka.
Right.
While the others can't open that other door, and that's the end of Yuri.
Okay. But, I mean, you still had the growling and the
banging. Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Yeah. So he, okay. Yeah, I forgot that you actually did get to see Tasha. She looks all right.
For a ghoul?
You know, for being a inmate.
She's not Tasha anymore.
Being a chick with issues. I mean, well, you take what you can get, I suppose. Anyway, so Yuri's dead. We got three people left. Ruth, the psychic, this whole place is really just ripping her apart. She says she needs to lie down again, and that she's like limping along and just barely able to maintain at this point. They make the decision that they're going to gather their equipment. Kate and Matt are. Ruth is going to lay down for a few minutes, and as soon as they're 100% ready to go, they're going to grab Ruth and get the fuck out of there. They make it back to their control room. Ruth, for whatever fucking reason, goes right back to the exact same cell that she was in and goes ahead and takes another nap.
She got attacked.
Yeah, imagine that. Matt goes to start to pick up some of those static cameras that they left around the facility. He gets out of the control room, and then this part was kind of dumb because he gets out of the control room and then Kate's like folding up the laptops, and then she just goes, Matt? And then she goes, right, I don't know. And then she goes out and finds his dead body. So I guess maybe there was something I missed there. Was there like a...
Oh, where she sees his shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just assumed, that was kind of jumbled.
Yeah, it's I was in and out.
It was just a way to get rid of Matt, I guess.
I think they had a limited special effects budget.
That's after they almost escaped, though. They go back.
I thought that was before.
No, because it was Matt and Kate, and Ruth kind of did the save yourselves, run.
Yeah,
and she says, "I'm fine. I'm going after myself," or something like that.
That's right. You're right.
And they almost leave.
Yeah.
And Kate was like, we have to go back for her.
Yeah.
And then later in the control room, Matt's like, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't. What did you say?
You're right. We would have regretted that.
Yeah, that would have haunted
us. And then he takes off. And then that's when shortly later, Kate's like, Matt?
Yeah.
And then goes looking for him. And oh, shoes in the doorway.
He
slow creep up. He's dead.
She gave him like 30 seconds after
he left the room.
Matt?
Right. Maybe there was something we didn't hear.
Maybe. I don't know. All right, so now we're down to Ruth and Kate. Now, things got kind of weird for me here because I wasn't paying 100% attention to the movie.
And is this where Kate tries to go find Ruth now?
Yeah, she goes back to the room. Ruth isn't there. She goes, at some point, she's just like, fuck it, I'm out. Goes hauling ass for the exit. Gets confronted by the spirit of Mishka, I believe, right?
Well, no, as she's leaving that one room where she can't find Ruth anymore, she goes room to room. First seeing David, then sees Yuri.
I could have swore there was like a chase, some kind of a chase scene before.
I thought that was after that.
Was it after? No, because right after Ruth, she sees them, then she
because then Ruth comes around the corner and she's totally possessed.
Yeah, she's got the crazy eyes.
And in a foreign language, whatever, Siberian, I guess, it says you can never leave here now.
Yeah.
And we're assuming that Mishka has possessed Ruth. And then the chase ensues, I think.
Well, I thought, no, because I think after they told her that, she just kind of got up and moseyed back into that cell, sat on the bed, and then kind of faded out.
Maybe.
Faded out, faded in, I don't know. Either way, that's pretty much your movie. But basically what you're left with is, apparently at some point, Kate actually dies, but I don't know, I'm not privy to that information, and becomes a ghost along with her film crew to further populate the ghost population of this, whatever the fuck it is, installation.
Mishka's army.
Yeah. I got a kill count of 4 on this. That's pretty much everybody except for Ruth. I'm not mad at it. What'd you think, man?
I enjoyed it for the most part.
I
thought it had a lot going for it.
I kind of felt like this was supposed to be a found footage film. But
yeah,
they just did, like, maybe at the last minute decided not to.
It started very well, I thought.
With that
found footage and then them traipsing through the woods.
Yeah, and the whole backstory of the mass grave that nobody could figure out.
Then once we got to the heart of the installation there, I was kind of losing interest.
I like a good abandoned asylum situation.
Yeah, but it's just creepiness to it. And then,
yeah. I don't know.
I think this one could have done better at that.
Yeah. Not my favorite. I'd check it out, see what you think. Entity.
It's worth a watch on Netflix. It's for free. Go check it out.
If you have Netflix, which you're paying for.
Trivial.
All right, check that out if you want. I don't care. Entity from 2012. Let's take a break and we'll get right back with the Terra Dome.
Yeah.
The walls are closing in. My dark and secret place, unbearable things locked away. A crypt-like silent place, where I could shove down all the pain, all the tears of my life. My heart, it bears the scars, 1,000 open wounds cut through to
I'm not afraid to die.
Another day in hell, what gives me the strength to go on?
And we're back. Before we get into the Terror Dome, I completely spaced something, and I'm going to hit it up right now.
I got something to touch on, too, from Horror News.
I'll go first.
Go for it.
Padded Room Podcast has officially entered the year 2014. How? Padded Room Twitter account.
Tweet, tweet, motherfuckers.
Padded Room Twitter account. I got it right here. Here's what's going to happen. From now on, first what you got to do, you got to follow us on Twitter at Padded Room Pod, at Padded Room Pod. That's a little Twitter name.
At Padded Room Pod.
At Padded Room Pod is where you're going to go. What we're going to do from now on is before the show, I'm going to tweet out about what time, Pacific Standard Time, we're going to be doing the show. And that way you can live tweet with us as we're doing the show.
Hey-o!
You silly sons of bitches. What do you think of that shit?
How fun.
Now, I got something else that's fun. Right now, we have zero followers.
Of course.
And we are following me because I had wanted
follow
to make...
Follow me.
Okay. Yeah. But... every week, we're going to follow one person. Who should it be for this week?
Who has Twitter accounts?
I don't know.
Does Crease?
Let's find out.
Crackhouse Matt, you guys all need to get Twitter accounts now.
Crease. No. Whoa, she's hot. That is, what, hey, is hey, that hey. Crease? There's no way that's Crease.
Hey, watch your mouth.
No, I mean, this girl's like 12. That Crease, that's not you. All right, Crease. I'm going to say either Fangoria Magazine, since we did two Fangoria Presents movies, or Lance Henriksen. What do you think?
Fangoria. Yeah, and we doubled down on him.
Let's see if Fangoria is on here. Fangoria. Fangoria. Fangoria has a 30-year legacy of providing the best in horror entertainment and news coverage. Fangoria Magazine, you're the Padded Room Podcast Follow of the Week. I need a sound drop for that. Boom, boom, psh.
Tweet, tweet.
Dude, you're going to want to follow the Padded Room Podcast on Twitter. That's all I'm going to say. Mike, what do you get? What did we miss from you, man?
Or you? Hold on, there you are. Hold on. We got us another follower.
Multiple mics? I don't know. It hasn't gone through yet. All right, man. What do you got?
Okay. Let me sync back up here. You touched on Godzilla 2 a little bit.
We did. Sequel?
Directed by Gareth...
Edwards.
Gareth Edwards, yeah. Well, it looks like it later than sooner.
Okay.
Because Gareth Edwards just made a huge career move. He had signed on to direct a Star Wars spinoff.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's looking to be due out in late 2016.
It's a good thing Dale's not here.
Right.
He'd be jizzing all over his hairy panties.
So if that Star Wars spinoff isn't due till...
I'm just thinking about a Star Wars...
Han Solo. So if that Star Wars spinoff isn't due till late 2016... That means we're looking at maybe 2018 for Godzilla 2.
Where are you with Star Wars? Yay or nay?
I'm done.
You're done?
I mean, I'd choose Star Wars over Star Trek.
Okay.
But come on. Let it lie. There's all these books.
I fail to see. I mean, I get it. I'm a fanboy too, but not. I'm more of a horror movie fanboy. So I get the fervor in the fandom. I just think it's... I just don't understand why, I guess. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's needed. Isn't J.J. Abrams doing this next trilogy?
Of course it's not needed.
Animated or some shit like that?
Who gives a crap? Disney got it. Dale beat off, and then that was the end of that.
Probably still beating off.
2018, you say, for Godzilla?
Well, that's what it looks like if this director, because they already said the director's doing a trilogy for Godzilla.
Okay.
But he signed on to do this Star Wars spinoff that's due out in late 2016.
Maybe he just executive produces.
So if he's tied on to that, no.
I don't, man, Guillermo del Toro, he was cranking like 3-4 movies a year for a minute. Big ones, too, not little ones.
Yeah, and Christopher Nolan pumped out a few in the middle of his trilogy with the Batmans.
Peter Jackson with the Lord of the Rings crap. Yeah. So it could be possible.
Ugh. Oh, well. Godzilla 2, not for a while, though, regardless.
Saddens me.
That's all I got.
All right, let's get into the Terror Dome.
Are you ready?
I am.
Yeah, me too.
I wish you'd bring a little more excitement.
Take two?
Yeah, me too. That's all you got?
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm here. I think I'm all right.
Take two? Terra Dome. Oh, you ready?
Let's go over the rules one more time.
Yeah.
Basically, what's happening here, inmates, is combat redefined. You've got 32 villains. Actually, 64. 32 singles, 32 teams. What you're looking at is your standard March Madness bracket picking up at the 16 spot. What that means is 16 villains from the East, 16 from the West. We don't call it the East and West, though. We call it the Asylum Conference and the Inferno Conference. Because that sounds way cooler than East and West, right? Now, what normally would happen in this case is I would have two co-hosts, and they would pick numbers randomly, which would coincide to a list that I had made up previously. Since it's just me and Mike today, we're going to do it old school and draw names out of a Metal Militia baseball hat.
Oh.
Bing. So we're going to start with the singles, Asylum Conference first. Now, these,
ready?
Yeah, these have singles on one side, teams on the other.
Okay.
They're denoted by a little S.
Or a T. Am I going?
Yeah, if we can get this fucking thing to set up right.
There we go.
Hold on, let me get situated here. Asylum Conference, round one. Pull it.
Asylum Conference. What is this, teams?
No, singles.
All right. Fisherman.
Oh, God.
The Fisherman.
The Fisherman. You saw his work in I Know What You Did Last Summer. You probably didn't care for it. He doesn't have a good track record in the Terra Dome. And he will be facing in round one, Damien Thorne.
Ooh. Sick him.
I think I got a good idea how that one's going to go.
All right. Teamage?
No. Let's finish out the singles first.
Okay. This is the second battle?
Second battle.
Oh.
Asylum Conference. Singles division.
Leatherface.
Very nice. Leatherface.
Versus.
He will be meeting Norman Bates.
Oh.
Let's see. That's like the wear somebody else's skin match.
Right.
Or at least their clothes. However you want to look at that, I don't know.
The Creeper.
The Creeper from Jeepers Creepers. Yeah, I mean,
it's a solid foe.
Yeah, he could do well if he went up against a weaker one, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's going to be meeting Pyramid Head.
Oh, that's your pick, no?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I put it in as my pick, but I'm going to wait and see how the matches line up.
All right.
Had that fight last year.
The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Classic. Versus
Ghostface.
Ooh.
From the Scream Trilogy.
Ooh.
Or Quadrilogy now, right?
I think of five.
Four.
Five.
Really?
I want to say five. No, maybe you're four.
Four in a TV show. Maybe, supposedly maybe an upcoming TV show. I think I know how that one's going to go, too.
Yeah.
We got
Maniac Cat.
Yes. He did very well last year.
Yeah.
He will be meeting the Wolfman.
Ooh. Is this Lon Chaney or
any way you want to go with that. There's a number of different Wolfmen to choose from.
Oops. And Chucky. Chucky.
Charles Lee Ray.
Versus
Frankenstein.
He's a newcomer, yeah?
No, he was in last
year.
I think he's been in all of them.
Alrighty. We got us Michael Myers.
Speaking of Frankenstein, you been watching The Penny Dreadful on Showtime?
No.
Pretty good show.
Too into this Fargo series. Michael Myers versus
Hannibal Lecter.
Ooh.
I don't see that going well for Mr. Lecter.
No?
No.
He's genius.
I mean, if he could talk to Michael Myers, he might be able to. But Dr. Loomis was able to, so.
Here's your boy, Herbert West.
Very nice. He will be meeting the leprechaun. Mm-hmm. Okay, that closes out the Asylum Conference. Let's take a minute to look at those matchups really quick. We have the Fisherman versus Damien Thorne, Norman Bates versus Leatherface, the Creeper versus Pyramid Head, Creature from the Black Lagoon versus Ghostface, Maniac Cop versus the Wolfman, Chucky versus Frankenstein, Michael Myers versus Hannibal Lecter, and Herbert West versus the Leprechaun.
All right. Asylum, you say?
That was Asylum. Now we're in the Inferno Conference, or the Eastern Conference, if you want to be a prick about it.
Well, you kick us off with this one.
All righty. Let's start it off with Killjoy.
That's your boy right there.
I should have pulled him, huh?
You like him a lot. He will be facing Chrome Skull.
Yes. Newcomer.
All right. What movie is that?
Laid to Rest, 1 and 2.
Oh. Chrome Skull. Interesting.
How about Freddy Krueger?
Oh, the Kriggs.
You know, before we... Well, go ahead.
The Kriggs versus the Tall Man.
Ooh. That's a good matchup. Before we go any further, I should note that Nurse Nicole is vacating her seat in this year's Terror Dome. So if anybody wants Freddy Krueger, wide open. How about Dracula?
Dracula will be facing Otis Driftwood. Interesting.
Not really. I don't see that one going. Oh, I got two here. How about the Predator?
The Predator?
Yeah, one Predator.
Ooh, the reigning champ.
Pinhead?
Pinhead.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Himself.
Pinhead versus Predator.
Pinhead out first round?
Could happen.
Oh,
it could happen.
Ho, ho, ho.
It could happen.
Oh, ho, ho.
How about Kayako from the Grudge movies?
Versus Mr. Voorhees. Jason.
Jason Voorhees. You know, Jason never does well.
I know. It's a big letdown.
One of my biggest fears when I started this was that the championship was going to be Freddy versus Jason every year. We've right. never seen that happen.
Nope.
I got Pumpkinhead over here.
And versus the Candyman.
Candyman went to last year's championship.
Ooh.
In our first ever Clive Barker championship.
That's right, huh?
Oh. No, go ahead.
All right. Ba-ba-ba-dum. Ooh, we got us Jigsaw.
Very nice. He will be meeting Samara from the Ring movies.
Should have only two.
That one's going to be tough, man. Some of these are going to the little lead-ins. They're going to be hard to write.
All right, here we go, Gershie.
Carrie White.
Carrie White.
What's the last one in there?
Versus Jin.
The Jin from the Wishmaster movies. I could almost see the Jin pulling that one out. If he can grant her the wish of not having a crazy bitch mom. Of course right. she's going to go for it, right?
Of course. Put him back in here. Now
let's swing it over to the teams division.
You want to run down that?
Oh yeah, let's go there. Over the Inferno Conference real quick. Opening round, we have Killjoy versus Chrome Skull, Freddy versus the Tall Man, Dracula versus Otis Driftwood, Predator versus Pinhead, Kayako versus Jason Voorhees, Pumpkinhead versus the Candyman, Jigsaw versus Samara, and Kerry White versus the Djinn.
Interesting.
Teams division. Asylum Conference. We're starting off with the Firefly family.
Who's that again?
Devil's Rejects.
Right. House of versus Inbred Cannibals.
From the Wrong Turn. That's a good one.
Yeah, right?
So they both use guns. They're both batshit crazy.
Psychotic.
Inbred cannibals.
Alrighty. Alrighty, Roo.
How about the birds?
Speaking of, what are you watching?
What are you looking at?
Yeah, I watch the birds.
Very nice.
Versus dwarf. Does it say monks?
Yes.
Huh. Newcomers?
No, they were in last year.
Okay. Dwarf monks.
From the Phantasm franchise. I got two. How about Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Versus Jungle Cannibals.
I know how that one's going down. I feel like a lot of the weaker competitors are going to get eliminated earlier this year.
That should be the case, right?
It usually is. Sometimes they end up facing each other.
Right.
And we get some really stupid matches that way. Elite Hunting Company.
Oh, nice. Versus Critters.
Yes. I think we had that one last year, too. Eastern European Thugs. We've got Mutant Cannibals.
Versus the Cenobites.
That's a good one. How about Nazi Zombies?
They will be facing a werewolf pack.
Nice.
Oh, that's a good one.
They went pretty far last year, too, as I recall.
The werewolf pack?
Yeah.
I like that.
I think they got shut down by the Xenomorphs.
Yeah, I can see that.
Cave Dwellers. You saw them in the Descent franchise.
Versus the Sawyer family.
Versus the Sawyers.
Who's that?
That is from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, right, right.
All righty. And closing out the Asylum Conference, we have Ghoulies.
Versus the Nightbreed.
Oh, that's going to be stupid. All right. So, for the Asylum Conference in the Teams division, we have the Firefly family. That's a fucking fuckface right there. Versus Inbred Cannibals. The Birds versus the Dwarf Monks. Killer Clowns from Outer Space versus Jungle Cannibals. The Elite Hunting Company versus the Critters. Mutant Cannibals from the Hills Have Eyes franchise versus the Cenobites. Nazi Zombies versus the Werewolf Pack. Cave Dwellers versus the Sawyers. And Ghoulies versus Nightbreed. Swing it over to the Inferno Conference.
Where we have, starting off, the Predators.
Predators. Two of them. Or three of them. Probably three. They usually come in threes. They'll be meeting the Titty Twister Vampires.
What the hell is that?
From Dust Till Dawn.
Oh, right, right, right.
What the hell is that?
What in the hell?
They play titties?
How do I get in on that?
Titty Vampires?
All right, next up we got Demons.
Demons.
Straight up Demons. Versus
the Lost Boys. Yeah, shit.
Next up, we got the Deadites.
Very cool. They will be meeting regular zombies.
Okay.
That's kind of a mirror match.
The Hewitt family.
Very cool. Versus the Puppet Master Dolls. Puppet Master Dolls went to last year's Teams Championship.
Did they? It was Puppet Master Dolls versus Xenomorphs?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, right.
All right. Next up, we got Children of the Corn.
Versus the 30 Days of Night Vampires.
Ooh.
Got a pretty good idea how that one's going.
Ooh, little kitties. What you got, kitties? Uh-huh. And Silent Hill Nurses.
Ooh, my favorite.
I like them.
Oh, God damn it. Versus the Xenomorphs.
Oh, sad. Sad, sad, sad nurses.
What you got?
Gremlins.
The Blind Dead.
Interesting. What about Home Invaders?
Ooh, nice. There's some newcomers.
Is it?
Yeah, should be just
versus the Infected.
Oh, man.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
That's tough.
Really hoping the Home Invaders would go a little bit further, but oh well. All right, so for your team's Inferno Conference, we have Predators versus the Titty Twister Vampires, Demons versus the Lost Boys, Deadites versus Zombies, the Hewitt Family versus the Puppet Master Dolls, 30 Days of Night Vampires versus Children of the Corn, Xenomorphs versus the Silent Hill Nurses, Gremlins versus the Blind Dead, and Home Invaders versus the Infected. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at our horse race, shall we? So we, Gracie's Poppy hit me earlier in the week via this secret textoso line. He wanted Predators in the teams division. What say you, multiple mics?
For teams? Put me down for the demons. Straight demons.
I wanted to take the Silent Hill Nurses, but if they're starting off against the Xenomorphs, there's no fucking chance. Son of a bitch. All right, I'm going to go. You
got your wolf pack there.
Yeah, and they did pretty well last year. Who are they? They're up against Nazis. I don't know. I don't know about that shit. All right, I'm going to take. I'm gonna take the Cenobites and teams. Got a pick for singles, my man.
I'm a little upset you don't have Godzilla.
No kaiju. How fair could it? How unfair could we get if we added Godzilla?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It would be fairly unfair.
One of these days we'll do strictly kaiju.
You just run all over.
Terra Dome.
All right, singles. Oh shit! Hold on. Give me one sec.
All right. Let me look at the matchup. There you go.
You got your pick?
I'm thinking I'm probably still gonna go with Pyramid Head.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick. And Nicole says no, Freddy.
No, she's vacated, so Freddy's wide open if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Give
me.
What do you want?
Give.
Go.
Myself. Dracula.
You're taking Dracula. Did. I think he did pretty well last year, too.
Probably not going to make it past Pinhead.
You dude. Last year, Leatherface got eliminated first round by Dr. Fibes, of all people.
I'll give you this. They're gonna be.
Yeah, you might want to.
I'll give you this, my man.
On.
Huh? I'll give you this. There's gonna be some good things to write about,
dude. Let me tell you something. Last year, I'm cranking it up. This year, last year, I took you right to the edge. I set the stage. I introduced the players, and then I backed off and let nature take its course. This year, I'm going to take you inside. We're going to get into the blood and the guts, and we're really going to feel out the strengths and weaknesses of these characters.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm taking the lead-ins up a notch or two.
That'd be fun to write.
It will be. I'm looking forward to it. I had a lot of fun last year doing those little things. Cool. Some of them are hard.
Yeah.
What else did we have? We had Irma Gersh come in. He wanted Carrie White again. Alan was holding out. Who else came? Oh, Crackhouse Matt.
Taking that Pinhead. As Give us your team's picks.
As he should. Okay, so we got GP with Predators, multiple mics with Demons and Dracula. I'm taking Cenobites and Pyramid Head.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take the Nurses. But I'm not an idiot. Irma Gersh with Carrie White and Crackhouse Matt with Pinhead. Everybody else is still wide open.
Alan possibly with Xenomorphs.
Yeah, he's got first pick on the Xenomorphs.
Get to the end of the week.
Yeah, so get to us by next Sunday. As usual, you can get us on the regular email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com or on the mental health hotline for the voicemail at 206-309-9117. Get us your picks on who you think's going all the way. If you win, you're getting a padded room prize pack. And that's how it goes.
Don't forget to get on that Twitter.
Yeah, and follow us on Twitter, too.
Tweet. We live tweet during the show.
Dude, you're going to want to talk to these two guys right here.
Couple of knuckleheads.
Fucking crazy over here, huh? What else we got? Let's do some immersion therapy.
Do we have to?
Immersion therapy.
Yeah, so we're talking about Sin Eater from 2012.
You keep saying Sin Eater.
Sin Reaper.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know. I probably should have watched Sin Eater instead. Ugh. All right, so it's not a... I'm not mad. I mean, I'm not furious with it.
Well, yeah, but I'm a little mad.
What are you mad about? Just the unlikability of the
boredom.
It's pretty bad, man. I mean, it's, I hated everybody in this movie except for Lance Henriksen.
Call a spade a spade. This is a bad movie.
Here's what the problem is, and I get it. To film a movie, you got to jump through a lot of hoops, and you can kind of circumvent those hoops and cut costs by just kind of bringing in like weird Eastern European actors and people that aren't really professionals. That way you get around the unions,
right,
and you know all the weird Screen Actors Guild and all that shit. But right, what your end product is when you do that is this, Sin Reaper. Not a good show. Weak on many levels. I felt like it was like 45 minutes too long. It's just a basic slasher through some medieval castle. That's it. That's all you got. You don't really need 45 minutes of that.
You don't really need an hour and a half of it.
I kind of felt like English was a second language to everybody in this movie. You know what I mean?
I see that, yeah.
Just weird.
This very well could have just been a short film.
I agree. Or a commercial. It could have been commercial length. I did enjoy the dude, the actual slasher. Yeah. The weird monk guy with the super cross thing that he's swinging around. Thought that was
weapon
cool.
Was pretty cool.
Yeah. So don't blame me for this one, you motherfuckers. Kreese picked this one, so hit her up if you got
fingers are all pointed at you, Kreese.
You did it again. Now I'm going to one-up you. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be Evil Remains from 2004, starring Daniel Giles and Estella Warren, directed by James Merendino. Apparently I own this movie, but have never seen it. So I found it in my closet, and then I saw it was also on Netflix. Evil Remains.
You never seen it?
No. Or if I have, I sure as fuck don't remember.
Has the DVD even opened?
Looks like it. Probably got it off of, I don't know, probably stole it from somebody's house or something. So, like, you got anything else on the Sin Reaper?
The Rim Eaters? Also known as?
I don't understand how Fangoria approved it. I mean, I get it. Alan's got a good point. Their credibility is in question of late.
Right.
You got a lot of Twilight buzz, and it's their responsibility, you know, because of them.
No, I got nothing.
Okay, let's move it along to what are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
So you watch The Birds, huh?
Yeah, I visited my local library.
Yeah?
Used my library card.
To rent movies?
Felt like a big shot. Yeah, they got DVD collection down there. Pretty good one, too. Found a little Alfred Hitchcock collection.
Yeah?
Four movies. I'll probably do the next three or at least a couple more maybe for next week's. What are you looking at? But yeah, I did The Birds.
You know, for the longest time, I thought Robin Williams starred in that. That guy looks just like Robin Williams,
Rod,
right?
Taylor? Or yeah. Rod Taylor?
Whatever his name is.
Tippi Hedren's in it?
Yeah. It's a good show.
It's not a bad show, but I haven't yet watched it from beginning to end in one sitting.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, the first 40 minutes, I'd say, is like weird relationship stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then, boom, birds.
He comes in and, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Hitchcock.
Yeah.
You know what else I picked up?
What's that?
W.C. Fields.
Okay.
Is that him? Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah.
Old comedy actor back in the day.
Yeah.
Little collection of his.
Yeah.
Man. Classic laughs.
All right.
But I got some more down there at the library I'm going to check out. So stay tuned for next week's What Are You Looking At?
For a library update.
Here we are at the library.
Here's what I got. I went on kind of a superhero kick. I saw X-Men Days of Future Past.
What was that?
Pretty good. Not exactly accurate by comic book standards.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. If you know anything about the X-Men or what happens with that, in the comic book, they send Cable back, who is the son of Scott and Jean.
Right.
Cyclops and Phoenix.
Right.
In the movie, they send somebody else back, and Cable's not even in it.
I have a feeling I know who they send back.
Yeah, yeah. I have been watching Penny Dreadful, as I alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you're going to want to check this out. Let me explain
is
what's
it on
going.
Netflix's?
Not yet. It's still in its first season.
What's it on? What
Showtime.
Channel?
Showtime.
Oh. Probably on HBO Go?
No, Showtime, which you probably don't get with your mom's weird.
I can probably get my dad's.
Or you can watch it up here.
All right.
Pretty badass. It's horror TV show set in the Victorian era London. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what you got so far. You got your Dr. Frankenstein. You got your Dorian Gray. You got your... there's some allusions to Dracula. I think he's going to be making an appearance. There's some mummy allusions also. You got Josh Hartnett, the dreamy son of a gun that he is, playing like an American cowboy that's got mixed up in this whole thing.
I really wonder where he's been.
I don't know.
He's back.
He's back.
In action.
And he's got guns. Pretty good show so far.
Any Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hydes?
Not yet, but I could definitely see that. I could also see some kind of Lovecraft situations going on.
Okay.
Or that's more 20s. This is set like late 1800s, I believe.
Okay.
So I could definitely see some of that action going on.
Interesting.
Very cool. I'm very excited. New episode tonight. I'm going to tape the shit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also watched The Wolverine, finally.
Hugh Jack?
Yeah. Yeah, Hugh Jack.
Hugh Jack. Man.
You know... Watching that guy makes me feel like I'm not working out enough.
Didn't they do like two original Wolverines?
Yeah. There's one...
Is this the original or the one that they redid?
They didn't redo anything. The first one was X-Men Origins Wolverine. That takes place before...
And that's not the one you saw?
No.
You saw the one where they go to like China?
Japan.
Japan, yeah.
Yeah, I just picked that up on Blu-ray last night. Pretty good show. Been kind of on a superhero thing. Dude, I got Injustice for the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the shit out of that.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not usually a DC guy.
Do you do a co-op?
No. No. It's all versus.
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, I can whip your ass at it if you'd like.
We'll try.
Give you a little spank.
Put your face where your mouth is.
A little spanking.
Drop trowel.
That's pretty much all I got on the what are you looking at.
Yep.
You too?
Stay all tuned right. For next week. Library action.
I'm on the edge of my library seat. All right, let's get some company of wolves.
Company of Wolves.
I can't take this anymore, dude.
What?
This
what?
Arm brace. First off, it's irritating as shit. Second off, I don't know. Here, see if you can hear this. Hear that? That's the sound of me beating off. It's ridiculous. I'm going to start running again tomorrow. I'm not supposed to.
Right.
But I'm going crazy, and I've put on like 6 pounds since I had my surgery. So I'm going absolutely insane. What's up with you? What are you doing? Well, you're doing valet now. That's a pretty good
one. Yeah.
Are you actually hauling ass to and from the cars?
I don't run full speed, but I try to put a little hustle in there.
I mosey full speed.
I gallop.
I've been known to trot from time to time.
Saunter. No, I went out running myself the other day, though.
Yeah?
Just up to, I went up to Moss, Marvin Moss School.
Yeah?
Up the hill. That's a climb.
You got a smartphone. Why don't you get on the Nike Plus?
I knew you were going to try to pip that shit out.
It's free. It's a maybe. Free. It's a free thing.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Capital M.
You got to be part of the pack, dude.
I suppose.
Speaking of being part of the pack, I got a box full of t-shirts that are going in the mail tomorrow. So, Gersh, Kreese, other people, be ready for that. It's happening.
Who doesn't have one?
Nobody has one yet. That's
what first, t-shirts?
Werewolf Athletics t-shirts. Oh. That's the first box right there.
Cool.
Get ready for that. The Gordon, the, oh, I don't know. Are the mailbox or the post office open tomorrow?
Probably not. Shit. Government holiday.
They're going in the mail Tuesday.
You gonna, take two.
You're going to love that. That's all we got. You got anything else on the week, brother?
No. No. Solid week all around, I'd say.
Absolutely. Get us your Teradome picks by next week if you can't. Next Sunday. Again, thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com or on the mental health hotline at 206-309-9117. Or
I guess you could tweet us.
Why picks. Don't you just tweet them to us if you want?
Don't forget to tweet, live tweet during the show, folks.
At Padded Room Pod. I'm going to put the recording time out, Pacific Standard Time, on the Twitter feed. So you're going to want to follow at Padded Room Pod. You're going to want to do it.
Just do it.
Just do it, man. I'll read the tweets as they're coming in. What do you think of that shit?
One of us will.
Yeah, we're going interactive, sons of bitches.
I love it.
All right. For the Padded Room Podcast, my name is Darian and sexual multiple mics. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Take your sedatives.